The law is a tough thing. And I say that with a little bit of hesitation. You never know who's in your congregation, and I know at least last night and this morning there was at least one retired judge and two lawyers in the crowd. But the law is a tough thing. Law reduces situations and relationships to permissible and impermissible behaviors. And mostly, law is about what you can't do. You can't fail to pay income taxes. You can't kill someone else, unless maybe you're defending your own life. You can't breach a contract. You can't cross against the light. You can't drive more than 65 miles per hour, although nearly everyone does. Law keeps civilization going by giving us common expectations and boundaries. And usually, law is about justice. But the law is an imperfect thing. No legal code, no matter how complex, can account for every human situation and relationship. And laws have to be enforced and applied and interpreted. And all of these are going to introduce human weakness and sinfulness into the system. And of course, the reason we need laws, one of the reasons, is because of people who don't care very much about law, criminals of one sort or another. Some people commit crimes out of desperation. Some break the law out of ignorance. And some are indifferent to law and commit crimes because they have a depraved indifference to other people's property and their lives. The law is not perfect, and we are not perfect. The prophet Jeremiah, in our first reading today, is writing to his people in their exile in Babylon. And he tells them that there is a new covenant coming and a new law. They broke the old covenant over and over again. And so they were carried off into captivity in Babylon. But God did not abandon them and is going to give them a new covenant. And all of them, Jeremiah says, will know and understand the new law because it will be written in their hearts. Their relationship with God will be so ingrained and so natural that they will not even need to teach it to their friends and relatives. No values-based character education for them. They will simply know what is right, and their past sins will be forgiven. Imagine a world where everyone knows what is right and agrees on it, where we all have the same understanding of who God is and what God expects from us. Obviously, we are not quite there yet, but we know the way, because Jesus tells us that he himself is the way and the truth and the life. We know that the Savior has shown us the way, and if we follow him, we will know what is right, and the law will be written on our hearts, because his Spirit will be with us. And what we have to do then is follow where he leads. So pay attention in these next 2 weeks where Jesus leads us. The path to enlightenment, the path to a deep and honest relationship with God, the path to our salvation has some difficult stops along the way. If, like the Greeks in today's gospel, we want to see Jesus and go where he goes, we're going to have to make a stop at this Eucharistic table. We're going to have to go with him and struggle to stay awake during a troubled night in a garden. And we're going to have to meet him at the cross, where he finds glory and we find forgiveness and salvation. There is no way around that cross. Jesus himself knows that although he could ask God to save him from his hour of trial and to take his cup of suffering away from him, the true road is not around his suffering, but through it. You've probably, on occasion, met people who believe that the purpose of their religious experience is to bring them an endless supply of happy thoughts and warm, fuzzy feelings. Those sorts of folks are usually easy to recognize by their sometimes inappropriate perpetual smiles and 100-mile stares. They live in a constant denial of what they really experience. Sometimes religion becomes a shield to keep out any unpleasant thoughts or emotions. But by pretending that all religious experience is beautiful and perfect and feels good, they deny the reality of the cross. And so all their energy is spent on preserving a beautiful facade. But whoever would save their life will eventually lose it, and whoever would lose their life will save it. Whoever can let go of the defenses that separate us from our real inner lives will find there the tremendous gift that is God's Spirit. Like Jesus, we can't simply turn away from the cross and be true to who we are and who God has created us to be. This doesn't mean that we ought to glorify suffering or seek it out. To glorify human suffering is just another way to deny reality. To seek it out is to deny our own humanity and value. No one likes a willing martyr, including, I suspect, God. Pain and suffering are bad things that we should take seriously. As baptized people, infused with God's Spirit, we know that God's law is already written on our hearts. To be able to read what it says, we have to be able to peer deeply into our own hearts and see everything that's written there, the joy and the suffering. We have to understand how the cross is real for us if we're going to believe that our salvation is real. During these next 2 weeks, as we prepare for Holy Week and reflect on the mystery of the cross, approach that mystery with an open heart and with a willingness to go wherever it leads. And when you read the law that Jeremiah says will be written on your heart, you may find that the word written there is love.